The Gospel of John, chapter 10, we'll be reading from verse 14. And just to remind you that we are in a series of thinking about our Lord Jesus Christ in the way that Christ is our Savior, Christ is our Lord, Christ is our atonement, Christ is our righteousness. And who remembers what we thought about last week? Christ is our wonderful. That is good news. I'm sure glad you remembered that, Skip. We were stuck there for a little bit. Last week we thought about Christ being our perfection. And as you travel through Scripture, you see that this series could go on for a lifetime. We won't do that, but just a few more times. And today we want to consider Christ as our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. You're looking through Scripture again, you see the many illustrations there are about the relationship of Christ and the church and his people. And the main one that's probably used in the New Testament is the matter of a head and a body. And more often now we refer to the church as a body. And we are members of his body and he's the head of the church. John 15, we learn that Christ is the vine, we are the branches. We speak of a foundation and a building, and Christ being the chief cornerstone. Christ is the husband, the church is the bride. And then throughout Scripture, that the Lord is the shepherd and we are his sheep. And I suppose that thought has blessed God's people through the years in a very wonderful way. You think about the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and as he walked with his disciples, and whether in the country or in the city, he taught them in a very simple way. The most profound truth that men could ever encounter, he taught in a very simple way. He would talk about water. A lady was thirsty, and he told her about living water. He took bread and talked about being the bread of life. He talked about light, being the light of the world. He spoke of the Holy Spirit in reference to the wind. And he talked about a fig tree and the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. And taught a great story about a lesson about the soil and the different kinds of soil relating to human hearts and about harvest. And he talks about the shepherd and the sheep in John 10. And that thought brings a warmness to our hearts. I know as we drive through the country and we see that pastoral scene on a hillside with the sheep grazing there, and maybe a shepherd and a dog nearby, it always sort of stirs up something of warmth in the heart. We don't get to see that too often, but it's a marvelous thing. And you think of David in his early life having all that time out there alone with God as a shepherd, and God teaching him so many things from his creation. As we come to John chapter 10, we first of all want to think of the doctrinal truth, the theological substance that is here that relates to our Christian life in regard to the shepherd and the sheep, and then move into the practical aspects of what that means. So let's turn to John 10, 14, and we'll read through verse 30. John 10, 14 through 30, Jesus speaking here, saying, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to take them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's consider the teaching of this passage by, first of all, looking at the sheep and what the sheep do and what this passage says about them. And, of course, we're thinking of the sheep as the believers, the Christian, the chosen, God's elect. What do they do? Well, we learn, first of all, that these believers are called sheep. And that's a kind of a nice thing when you think about the animal world and the kind of animals we could be called, and kind of rightly so. There are a lot of other animals that could be named here, but it's a kind of a nice thing that the Lord called us sheep, not ferocious, and so on. So they're called sheep. Secondly, he says they are my sheep. Verse 26, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and so on. They are called my sheep. That personal pronoun, my, of course, denotes ownership or possession. The sheep belong to him. And that's a way we need to think of ourselves this morning. We belong to him. We're his. It denotes ownership. And ownership means management. The Lord is our manager of our life. Sometimes you'll drive along the street and you'll see a business or a restaurant under new management. And that's the way you and I are. We are now his sheep, a new owner. We are under new management. He is responsible for the management of our life. Now, the destiny of the sheep depends upon the shepherd and his management. One of the very fine books that's been written about this subject in recent years in regard to the relationship of shepherd and sheep is called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And Philip Keller is a sheep rancher who grew up in East Africa and a scientist of agriculture. And he has done it as a boy and as a man. He owned and managed a sheep ranch. And he has written that book. I don't think we've ever had it on the book table, but we probably ought to get several copies of that. And you ought to read it. And I do not agree with him in all of his doctrine, but he certainly teaches us a lot about sheep and the shepherd and the relationship there. And as he looked at what was happening on certain sheep ranches, he came to see that the destiny of the sheep lies with the shepherd, depended upon the management of the shepherd. And that's where our life is this morning. We belong to him, and he is our manager. And the destiny and welfare of our life depends upon his management, his wisdom, and his care. And we have a shepherd who day and night and in all seasons has us in his care. And Mr. Keller says that all the sincere shepherds did that. It was a day and night job and a job for all seasons to be a shepherd. Now, we belong to the Lord as our shepherd in many ways. Two main ones. First of all, by choice. we look through the scripture, we see that Jesus used these words himself in John 15 when he said to them, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And that this thought of God's choosing his own is throughout scripture, both Old and New Testament. And that we belong to him by his choice. And that he made a selection. He selected you to belong to him, to believe in him. And that's a powerful thought and a wonderful security, that we belong to him and to his ownership by his choice. Second way we belong to him, of course, is by purchase. He paid the price to deliver us from our sin through a perfect atonement, which means we are purchased with a full payment. You could write "paid in full" across your life because his blood of the cross secures that for us. Now, as a shepherd owns the sheep, to keep that identity clear, a shepherd would have to brand or mark his sheep. And every shepherd would cut a notch in the ear of his sheep and make it clearly visible, so there was an identity. And the Lord marks us. He brands us as his own. You say, "Well, I don't see any mark on my body." Well, Paul said something about that. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, he was able to say that because he had been beaten 3 times with 39 lashes. And he had been robbed, and he had been in peril often. So he was able to say, physically and visibly, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." The mark that you and I bear today as his believer is the presence of the Spirit of Christ in our life. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God is the brand, the mark. We are marked out for life. We are branded for life to be his. That sign never needs to be hung across our forehead ever again under new management. This is once for all. Think of that happening so many times in some restaurants around here. I think the restaurant on Coast Highway, which is now Bobby McGee's, has probably changed at least 10 times since we have known about it. And many changes, but ours is permanent. We are now under new management forever. We are his. And he says that, "My sheep hear my voice and know them." So the second thing about the sheep is that we hear his voice. Now, the thing that makes this significant is that others do not hear. We just need to look at verse 26 as he's speaking to some of them, and they said, as they were questioning him about who he is, he said, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep, as I said to you." They didn't get it. They came to him and said, "Speak to us plainly and tell us who you are. If you're Christ, tell us." Jesus said, "I told you." What's the matter with you? They didn't get it. They did not hear. They did not understand. Some do not hear. Those who hear are those whom he has chosen, and those who are marked out as his sheep. Turn to John chapter 8, and Jesus makes this very clear again as he was speaking to some, and along about verse 43. Well, we'll pick it up at verse 42 as Jesus is speaking and dealing with them and giving him the testimony about Abraham and his relationship to Abraham. And they were arguing with him about they are all right, they are God's children. And in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my words or my speech? Because you are not able to hear my word. You are of the father, your father, the devil." All do not hear his voice. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." And if you have understanding of God's word this morning, and if you can open the Bible and this word of God is clear and it gives you understanding, you thank Him for that. That is His gift to you. Not all are able to do that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is a verse that tells us that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. All do not hear and understand. But as we hear as His sheep, it brings understanding. And that takes a divine power, a resurrection, a regeneration coming to us to give us that ability. Now you might say, "Bill, what are you talking about? Are you talking about an audible voice so that as I drive in my car, I walk on the beach, that I hear the audible voice that Jesus heard at baptism and so on?" No, I'm not saying that. It is not an audible voice. It is a spiritual understanding that comes through the reading of His Word. As you travel through the Bible, God's Spirit bears witness with your spirit and you understand the Scripture. Now, not any of us understand it all. There are problems with certain texts, and we all grapple with interpretation and so on. But basically, there is an understanding of the Word of God. And He said, "My sheep hear my voice." He's our shepherd. A third or fourth thing about the sheep is that they follow Him. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." A shepherd leads. And as Mr. Keller writes his book, he talks about the responsibility of the shepherd to lead the sheep to the right places and to lead them, as Psalm 23 says, in the paths of righteousness, which means for that physical shepherd in the right places, to green pastures and still waters, and that isn't an easy thing. It took some very active work on his part to get his sheep to the green pastures and the still waters. And our Lord is very active in our life. And He leads us. He does lead us in paths of righteousness. And we would say that today, that's the pursuit of holiness. Every one of God's children, all of His sheep, have a desire for holiness. Now, we don't become perfect in this life, and we don't live that out in a perfect way. But our hearts are set on purity and holiness. That's one of the main evidences of election. If we talk about being chosen of the Lord, then let's also talk about the pursuit of holiness and the desire for purity. The Lord also leads us through the valleys. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." He takes us through the valleys. And as a shepherd is in the process of finding the right pasture and the right water for the sheep, sometimes he takes them through the valley because that's the best way to go. And sometimes the safest place for us is in the valley. And we don't like the valleys of life. We'd rather be on the mountaintop all the time. But that isn't reality. He leads us, and the sheep follow. Now, notice he says, "They follow me." And that indicates to us that there should be an exclusive following. And becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or becoming a Christian means a turning to Him, a coming to Him, a faith in Him, and a trust in Him to the exclusion of other trusts or following other things or other people. There is only one Savior. There aren't many Saviors to follow. We don't have many shepherds. We have one shepherd. And he says, "My sheep follow me exclusively." No idolatry in our life. We worship Him and Him alone. And then the sheep follow obediently. "My sheep follow me." Jesus walked on the shores of Galilee and found Peter and John, Andrew, fishing. He said to them, "Follow me." They left their nets and followed Him. We need to do that in our life. Follow him. The sheep, that's what they're called. And they're called my sheep. They hear his voice, and the sheep follow him. Now this passage teaches us something about the shepherd. What does Jesus say to us about that? He says, first of all, I know my sheep. I give them eternal life, and so on. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. What a great comforting thought that is this morning as we sit here on this February 13th, Sunday morning. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I just threw that in to alert the men, that's all. I knew the date. Now, as we sit here, the Lord knows us. I know them. And this word is a very, very important word in Scripture. It's a different word than we normally use in knowing. Oh, sure, I know that person, or I know about that place. No, it's much deeper than that. It's a knowing with full and complete knowledge. I know them. It's associated with love. When he says, I know them, we could rightly think he is saying, I love them. I know them. That same word is used in the thought of Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and then he created Eve, and we read, and Adam knew his wife. That's the kind of knowing we're talking about. The closest possible relationship you can think about. I know them. Our shepherd knows us. The psalmist said again, the Lord knoweth those that are his. He knows you completely, and he never forgets. And there's a contrast. Jesus will say to some, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7 is very clear about that. As some have approached him and thinking about judgment and so on. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He doesn't say this about everybody. He says this about his sheep. I know them. He says to some, I never knew you. Depart from me. This chapter also teaches us in verse 3 that he calls his sheep by name. And that's a wonderful, marvelous thing this morning to know that we have a heavenly shepherd who knows us emotionally, knows us in our geography, where we are, what is happening, and is in control of our life, a shepherd who is managing our life. The next thing about the shepherd that he says about them in verse 28 is that I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Now, I think Jesus said this because to them, to understand that this was a change. They did not have eternal life until it was given to them. This is not something we are born with. This is something that God gives us. They did not have it. Therefore, he pointed out to them, I give them eternal life. It is a gift to my sheep. There's no human merit involved. There is nothing that we deserve in regard to this. It is grace, God's grace all the way. And it's not by human decision and not by human will, but by the bestowal of the gift of our heavenly shepherd. And to you and I who are helpless and lost and wandering and have gone astray, now are brought into the fold by our shepherd. And then he says, they shall never perish. That is, they shall never be separated from me. They will never be lost again. They will never again be under condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. They will never again be under the wrath of God. They have passed from death to life. There has been a complete transfer, a transaction has taken place, brought about by divine power, that we have been changed and transferred into His kingdom, into His family. He is our shepherd, and we are His sheep, and we shall never perish. Now, one of the things we really need to understand about the Christian life is that we become a Christian by God's doing. We are born again by His doing. Else to be born again spiritually than we could be born physically. You had nothing to do with your physical birth. It depended on someone outside of you. Your spiritual birth is exactly the same thing. It depends upon the work of God outside of you, working in you. We shall never perish, because the grace of God that saved us is the grace of God that takes us through every day. This is the keeping power of the Lord. This is the doctrine of eternal security. This is the fact that God is our shepherd forever, and no one can take us out of His hand. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of my hand. And my Father, who gave them to me, is greater than all. No one can take them out of His hand. Now some people say, I'm in His hand, but what if I want out? If this is a person and I'm in His hand, can't the watch say, I want out, and jump out? Or couldn't someone else, possibly in a time of weakness, come and take us out? Well, he's saying here, no, can't happen. We can never be kidnapped from our shepherd. We are with Him. We cannot be taken out of His hand. You know why? Because it isn't like something being placed like this. It's more like this. We are His actual hand. We are united to Him. We are part of His hand, not an object in His hand. We are in Him, and He is in us. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand or my Father's hand. They've been given to me. So we have these great, great doctrinal truths in John chapter 10 about our relationship, that the Lord is our shepherd. What great comfort and great help that is to us. Let's take a moment to consider now our Christian life in relationship to that, as the sheep in His pasture, and how we go about each day living in His fold in a relationship to Him. How do the sheep live? What do they think about? And how do they live every day? The first thing we need to know about that, something I mentioned before, it is the shepherd that makes the difference in the life of the sheep. Now, Psalm 23 talks about sheep resting. You cause me to lie down in the green pastures and rest beside the still waters. But do you know that sheep will not rest unless they're free from fear and free from friction and free from pests and free from hunger? And as a shepherd is watching a flock of sheep, and that there is any danger at all nearby, or they sense a wild dog or a wild beast or whatever, they won't rest. They are very, very nervous and pacing about, and no way will they lie down when there's that fear, when they're in the panic and danger of wild dogs or a cougar or any wild beast at all. They will not lie down. The only thing at that time that will give them any sense of peace will be for them to see their shepherd. The shepherd will make the difference. Neither will the sheep lie down when there's friction among them, and there is, because sheep are social animals, and they have competition and rivalry for power. And they think that they have certain rights in certain territories where they might be grazing or feeding, And any other sheep that invade that, and there's a war there, and they are going at it. And there's a friction and a rivalry and a competition within the flock. And they become very nervous, and they will not lie down. But if they see the shepherd, they do. The shepherd, the presence of the shepherd makes a difference. Sheep also have a problem with pests and flies. And Mr. Keller writes of a certain fly that deposits the eggs in the nose of the sheep. And the worms born out of the eggs make their way up through the head of the sheep. And it almost drives them insane. And they against a fence and against a tree, and they're just going wild and nervous and stampeding and wrestling about. And only the shepherd can help them, because he comes to anoint them with oil. David wrote it this way: "Thou anointest my head with oil." And there's a certain ointment that the shepherd can use that will take care of those sheep so that the flies do not do that, and if they have done that, to heal them. And the shepherd helps them with the fear and with the rivalry and with the pests. Sheep will also not lie down and rest if they are hungry or thirsty. They just won't. They keep looking around, walking around, looking, ever searching for that blade of grass or that drink of cool water. And the shepherd has to supply that. Nothing will bring contentment and peace but the presence of the shepherd. And you know, all these things are true of us. When there is a fear and panic, when there is friction and rivalry and competition in the flock, when there is the pests, and when there is when we're not well fed, there's a restlessness and a nervousness that develops in a congregation, in any church, and it's the shepherd that makes the difference. Jesus Christ and his presence makes the difference. He is our shepherd, and this morning we need to be content with his ownership and his management, because he said, "Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Content with his provision, content with his management, seeking him out for his guidance and help. Mr. Keller wrote about a sheep that he came to call Mrs. Gadabout. She was a beautiful sheep, he says, about one of the best in his flock, and she bore great lambs. And just a marvelous animal, but she would not stay in the pasture. She kept going to the fence and breaking it down and somehow getting out. And she would lead the other lambs, would teach her own lambs to do that, and other sheep with her. Finally, he had to butcher her because she was ruining the flock. Mrs. Gadabout was not content with the shepherd's provision and thought she was better off on our own. You know, sometimes we're so foolish to think of that. We think we're better off going it on our own way rather than going his way, rather than listening to his voice, rather than resting content in his provision and his management. We try to go our own way. We need the shepherd. How much we need our Lord Jesus Christ this morning in his presence, personally and among us, in our marriages, in our families, in our churches. He will make the difference. Mr. Keller writes about another kind of sheep called a cast-down sheep. It's a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up. There is no way it can get up, and it will die. It doesn't take very long for the sheep to die because the circulation, there's a problem there. And sometimes a sheep can be lying on its side and roll over into a hollow or something like that, and they get on their back and they cannot get up. And the term that they use for that sheep is a cast down sheep. And the only way it can be saved or helped is by the shepherd coming to turn it, pick it up and turn it and take care of it. And you know, among the flock of God, although he is our shepherd, we can become cast down. We can have the valleys of life that get us on our back, and we need the shepherd to come, pick us up, and turn us over, and he does that. The shepherd is always watching for those cast down sheep. And if you are here this morning and you're feeling a little bit that way, and you feel that there have been some valleys of difficulty and discouragement and you're cast down, the Lord is looking and watching and ready to pick you up, turn you over, and restore. We have a shepherd this morning to encourage us and help us and to manage our life as we put ourselves under his control. May God bless this word to our lives.